923 of the Pew Bible. The Jerusalem Council. But some men came down from Judea and were teaching the brothers, "Unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved." And after Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and debate with them, Paul and Barnabas and some of the others were appointed to go up to Jerusalem to the apostles and the elders about this question. So being sent on their way by the church, they passed through both Phoenicia and Samaria, describing in detail the conversion of the Gentiles, and brought great joy to all the brothers. When they came to Jerusalem, they were welcomed by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they declared all that God had done with them. But some believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees rose up and said, "It is necessary to circumcise them and to order them to keep the law of Moses." The apostles and the elders were gathered together to consider this matter. And after there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, "Brothers, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you, that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. And he made no distinction between us and them, having cleansed their hearts by faith. Now, therefore, why are you putting God to the test by placing a yoke on the neck of the disciples that neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? But we believe that we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, just as they will." And all the assembly fell silent, and they listened to Barnabas and Paul as they related what signs and wonders God had done through them among the Gentiles. After they finished speaking, James replied, "Brothers, listen to me. Simeon has related how God first visited the Gentiles to take from them a people for his name. And with this, the words of the prophets agree, just as it is written, 'After this, I will return, and I will rebuild the tent of David that has fallen. I will rebuild its ruins, and I will restore it, that the remnant of mankind may seek the Lord, and all the Gentiles who are called by my name, says the Lord, who makes these things known from of old.' Therefore, my judgment is that we should not trouble those of the Gentiles who turn to God, but should write to them to abstain from the things polluted by idols and from sexual immorality and from what has been strangled and from blood. For from ancient generations, Moses has had in every city those who proclaim him, for he is read every Sabbath in the synagogues." Amen. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we humbly bow in your presence. May your word be our rule, your spirit our teacher, and your great glory our supreme concern. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. When it comes time for sending postcards, you don't send one to everyone that you know. There's a number of reasons for that. You'd spend your whole holiday writing postcards, and with the price of stamps nowadays, it would bust the budget. You can make a post on Facebook for free, and it gets seen by everyone who is your Facebook friend, whether you've ever met them or not. They get to see what you post on Facebook. But you maybe wouldn't try and send a postcard to everyone. That word, everyone, should be right at the heart of our thinking about Acts chapter 15 and this passage which we read together earlier. This is the very center of the first major issue facing the young church as she grew and grew in these early years. Is the gospel for everyone? Is the gospel for everyone? The passage which we read earlier begins in the city of Antioch, which is on the coast. It's a bit north of Judah and Jerusalem, in what was and still is Syria. But very quickly, in just the first few verses, the action moves from Antioch to Jerusalem. Don't know if you've noticed on the television, once again, there's a repeat of Simon Sebag Montefiore's series of programs on the history of Jerusalem. A wonderful program, which is supported by a very helpful book outlining the history of that great city. A city which has a history back before the time of Abraham. Jerusalem, the holy city, the center of the universe. Of course, Paul had to visit Jerusalem. And we might reasonably have been disappointed if we hadn't got a postcard from there. Now, we know that this visit in Acts 15 is not Paul's first time in Jerusalem. Paul had lived and studied and worked in Jerusalem, no doubt for a number of years. He would know the streets. He would know the people. He knew his way around in the city. Paul wasn't a stranger there when he went to Jerusalem. So what message is Paul sending us on his postcard from Jerusalem? Dear all, the gospel is for everyone. Wish you were here. Now, I hope that in 2016, as we read the message on this postcard from Paul, we think to ourselves, why wouldn't it be? I hope it's perfectly obvious to us that the gospel is for everyone. We will never meet anyone for whom the gospel is not. But it's always good to remind ourselves that the declaration of the gospel is of God, that he loves everyone. The declaration from God that in Jesus Christ he has achieved our salvation. And God now invites or calls or welcomes us to enter his kingdom. Not us in an exclusive way, but us as in everyone. The gospel declaration is for all people. More particularly, this gospel is for you. It doesn't matter how you voted in the election on Thursday. It doesn't even matter if you didn't vote. The gospel is for you. It doesn't matter which team you're going to support for the cup final, the green team or the blue team. The gospel is for you. Young or old, male or female, Scottish or English or Peruvian or Arabic or Chinese, for all people in all places at all times. The gospel is for you and for all people. Now, this seems obvious to us. The reason it seems obvious to us is by the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, by the decision of this council meeting in Jerusalem. But at the time in Acts chapter 15, it wasn't obvious, and not everyone in the church would have agreed. The biggest challenge facing the young and growing church was the reality of Gentile believers. Up until Acts chapter 8, the only people who had become believers were previously Jews. Then in Acts chapter 8, Philip preaches the gospel to an Ethiopian and he believes. Then in Acts chapter 10 and 11, Peter preaches the gospel to a Roman centurion and he believes. And then in Acts chapter 13, as we've been hearing in these postcards past weeks, Paul has been sent out from Antioch all round what became Turkey and preaching the gospel, and Gentiles have been believing. Could Gentiles belong to the church? Who gets to be saved? That was the big question, which caused a dispute in the early church. Some men came down from Judea. They were teaching the brothers, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. While Paul and Barnabas were in Antioch, they preached the gospel. The people who heard the gospel believed and were saved, and some of them were Gentiles. But then some who had been Jewish believers who had lived in Jerusalem came down to Antioch to see what was happening, and they said, no, we can't have this. These Gentiles need to be circumcised. These Gentiles, before they can be considered saved, need to adopt certain Jewish customs, one of which was circumcision. And Paul and Barnabas disagreed. They said, absolutely no way. We're just not having this. And so the matter is taken up to Jerusalem, and they have an assembly. We come to this in May, when we have assemblies every year in May. The young church, it seems, only had one assembly. I one time heard Mr. Alexander, one time minister at St. George's Tron, say, the early church only had one assembly and decided it wasn't such a good idea, they never had another one. We have one every year. When they go up to Jerusalem, when the council is gathered, the position is put once again, down in verse 5. Some of the believers who belonged to the party of the Pharisees rose up and said, it is necessary to circumcise them, the Gentile believers, to order them to keep the law of Moses. Do you see how this strikes right at the very heart of the gospel? The declaration of the gospel is not God loves you, but before you can know his love, you must submit to certain Jewish customs. Rather, the gospel is God loves you, and in Jesus has fully achieved your salvation. This Jewish party, thank God that there were Jewish people who believed the gospel and became Christians. There were Pharisees who believed the gospel and became Christians, but they were trying to limit the generous, free, and open invitation of the gospel. There are things you need to do before you can become a Christian. And Paul and some others stand resolutely against this, completely immovable in the conviction that the gospel is for everyone, for Jew and for Gentile equally. The free offer of God's love and grace in Jesus Christ is one free offer for all people. So I think the question becomes, who gets to be saved? Who gets to decide who gets to be saved? And much of the sad history of the church, a whole lot of heartache in the life of the church, has been caused when congregations or ministers or denominations have claimed or lived as though they get to decide who gets to be saved. In fact, the gospel truth is that the one God who has created all things, the one God who is the author of the gospel, he gets to decide who is saved. See there in verses 7 to 11, which we read earlier, Paul and Barnabas are supported by Peter in their appeal to this assembly. Peter's speaking in verse 7. After there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to the whole assembly, brothers, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them by giving them the Holy Spirit just as he did to us. And God made no distinction between us and them, having cleansed their hearts by faith. Peter reminds us that he preached the gospel to the Gentiles. Peter reminds us that when they heard the gospel, they believed it. Upon their believing, Peter welcomed them as fellow believers, recognized them as Christians and those who were saved. In order to support this decision of Peter's to welcome openly those who believe, he calls God as his witness. When Peter preached the gospel to Cornelius the centurion in Acts chapter 10 and 11, God poured out his Holy Spirit upon Cornelius and his whole household. The testimony of God to the salvation of the Gentiles is that he has given them his Holy Spirit. The point Peter is making is that the Holy Spirit given to the Gentiles when they believed is exactly the same Holy Spirit given to the Jews when they believe, because there is only one Holy Spirit. From this evidence, Peter draws the conclusion that God makes no distinction between us and them. The gospel is for everyone. God gets to decide who gets to be saved. There is no difference. God doesn't make that distinction. There is one God, one Savior, one Holy Spirit, one faith, one salvation, one people of God. God decides who gets to be saved, not you or me. In terms of whether or not people are saved, there is no relevance to our customs, our culture, our language, our history. God loves you. God loves everyone. The gospel is for you. The gospel is for everyone because God decided. God declares in the gospel that he loves you. God longs for you to believe this gospel. God longs for you to be saved in Jesus. What then is it to be saved? Bringing his address to the assembly to a conclusion, Peter says, "But we believe that we will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, just as they will. We, the Jewish believers, they, the Gentile believers." We could say, "But we believe that everyone will be saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, just as we all have been saved." That's Peter's conclusion. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ could be translated as the gift of the Lord Jesus Christ. In this context, not a gift which the Lord Jesus Christ gives to us, but the gift of God who is the Lord Jesus for us. Jesus given for us, God's free and gracious gift to us for our salvation. God the Father and God the Son covenanted together that the Son would be given by the Father for the salvation of all. The Lord Jesus is given in his birth, uniting humanity and God in one flesh, bringing God to us in our humanity. The Lord Jesus is given to us in his life. He walked the dusty streets of Judea. He was hungry and tired. He loved and was angered. He shared food and labored. The life which the Lord Jesus lived among us is the gift of God for us and our salvation. The Lord Jesus is given to us in his death and his resurrection. Hung between heaven and earth, taking upon himself all that separates humanity from God, dying to defeat the power of sin, rising in triumph over the grave, a conqueror, the victor, the glorious one who ushers in all who believe to the all-new kingdom of God. The sacrificial death and the victorious resurrection of the Lord Jesus are the gift of God for us and our salvation. Don't you see? This is what saves anyone. This is what saves all who are saved, the gift of God who is Jesus. It doesn't matter whether you're circumcised or not circumcised, whether you're European or Asian or African. What matters is what God has done for you in Jesus. Don't let verse 20 cause any confusion about this. The assembly in Jerusalem agreed with Peter and Paul. They write to the churches in Antioch and all the Gentile believers to assure them of their welcome in the church. James, the leader of the assembly, says, "Therefore, my judgment is that we should not trouble those of the Gentiles who turn to God, but should write to them to abstain from the things polluted by idols, from sexual immorality, and from what has been strangled, and from blood." This verse is not about who gets saved. Notice in verse 19, James has said, we're going to write to the Gentiles who have turned to God, the Gentiles who are already saved. The three injunctions here are all found in the Old Testament. No idol worship, no sexual immorality, no pagan feasting and drunkenness. The point James is making is, once we are saved, having been brought into the all-new kingdom of God by God's gift in Jesus, this is how we live to honor and please him. We do not do these things in order to be saved, but because we are saved. Are you saved? Have you heard the gospel declaration that God loves you? Do you know that in the death and resurrection of Jesus, God has achieved your salvation for you? Do you trust God that if he tells you he loves you, he really does love you? Do you trust God that if he tells you he has won your salvation in Jesus, then it really is won? This is what it is to be saved, to believe God, to trust what God says he has done, that it has been fully done for you. Today, you can be saved. You can say to God, yes, I believe that when you say something, you're going to do it. I believe that when you say something, you mean it. I believe that when you say you love me, you really do love me. Today, you can give thanks to God that he has saved you, praising God for his gift in your life, celebrating God's grace by living in his kingdom. The gospel is for everyone. You are saved by the amazing grace of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for the gospel. We thank you that there is only this one gospel for all people, that there is no distinction made. All who are saved in Jesus. All who are brought into your kingdom are brought in by your grace. Lord, we pray that you would help us to live as those who have been saved, that we would depend upon you and trust your word. What you have said, you have done. And we pray that you would help us to live in love and in fellowship with all others who are saved, that we would be welcoming and generous, that we would count as sister and brother all whom you have saved in Jesus. So build your church in this for the glory of your name. We ask it in Jesus our Savior. Amen. We're going to sing.